On this Father's Day, we're going to continue in our preaching series, Thrive. Letting us know, listen, God wants you to know and me to know, listen, not only does he want you to survive in life, he wants you to thrive. So survival is just about taking up space. It's about breathing this good air that God gave you. It's about living a life of mediocrity. But I believe God called us beyond that. Not to simply live a life of mediocrity, but to thrive in life, to increase, to grow, to mature, and all of that. That God wants the best life that you can live. He wants that for you and for me. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. You are here for a reason, and God has called you and me to thrive in this life. But we have to thrive God's way. That thriving in the world's eyes may look a little bit differently than it does to God. Because thriving in the world, y'all, again, it's about having stuff, the material possessions, about having it going on. I said a few weeks ago, listen, you can thrive in this world, but you can flunk out with God. And so that's why we have to apply biblical principles to this thought. What does it look like to thrive in this world, to thrive in this life? Today, we're going to point this message to fathers today as we talk about thriving in this life. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. John chapter 4, y'all, verse 43 through 54. Reads as thus. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did. He traveled through Galilee. As he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Jesus asked, will you never believe in me unless you see a miraculous signs and wonders? The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Then Jesus told him, go back home, your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said. Do you believe what Jesus said? And started home. While the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. I want to encourage the hearts of the brothers this morning. I want to encourage all of our hearts from this simple thought, a father's flourishing faith. A father's flourishing faith, a thriving faith, a growing faith, a strong faith. Thank God for the fathers that are here today, that you have a strong faith, that you're flourishing in your faith, that you believe the word of God, you take God at his word and you follow his promises, you take God at his promises. So we thank God for these dedicated fathers that are here today. But at the same time, we have to realize something, that for most of us, if not all of us, listen, our faith didn't simply grow overnight. That you didn't give your life to Christ on one day and you walk fully in your faith. That who you are in your faith today is different than who you were in your faith maybe yesterday or some years ago. And I found in my life, listen, it's the trials and the tribulations of life that make a demand on our faith, that help us to flourish and to grow in our faith. I remember years ago when our daughter, April, when Jackie and I, we were on assignment, we were moving from Little Rock Air Force Base, we were going to Wichita, Kansas, but we stopped in Memphis, Tennessee for a while just to visit with family, that our child, April, she had not been born yet. She decided that when we were in Memphis for the vacation, that she was going to come some eight weeks early. And so here she comes. Surprise, she is here. Some 3 pounds and 4 ounces. She was sick, and so she lost weight. She went to 3 pounds, a little under 3 pounds, I believe it was. But I remember seeing my baby in the hospital in that incubator with, and y'all didn't have the technology then that they have now, but they had the tubes and stuff running from her. They had to do a blood transfusion. She had some intestinal issues, all of this stuff going on. So can you imagine, here is this 20, 21-year-old young man, not the person you see today, but I'm talking about back then, seeing his child lying in a hospital bed and crying out to God. Can I admit to you in that moment, my faith was weak. I just didn't know that my heart was for the survival of my child. But in that moment, I'm crying out to God, but I'm just, God, what's going to happen in this situation? I wonder how many of us fathers, how many of us men have been in a place like that, like the father in this text, that we found ourselves in a situation, whether it was a sick child, maybe it was a job loss, maybe it was a financial need, maybe it was some situation that you were going through that was beyond your control, and you found yourself crying out to God, pleading to God for his help. But have you wondered, has your faith ever been just maybe a little bit weak? Again, I found out in this life that the progression of our faith, the growth of our faith, y'all, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It often happens, y'all, in the challenges of life. Not on the mountaintop experiences of life, but when we're in the valley, y'all. When we're in the valley of despair and we are desperate, that's the place where God wants to grow your faith. Yes, and I think we find that from the Father in the text for today. I want us to understand this. Our faith flourishes the most in the greatest of life's challenges. You want your faith to grow? You really want it to grow? You're asking to grow my faith? Got to grow my faith? Listen, you better get ready for some problems. Get ready for some challenges. Get ready for some moments of despair and desperation. But when you trust God, when you hold on to God's unchanging hand, I believe that God will grow your faith. So for dads that are struggling today with whatever it is, your whatever, listen, I want you to trust God. In your desperate times, in your times of despair, trust God in that situation and watch what God will do in your life. I believe that this father's journey was a journey to a deeper faith in the Lord. But I think it's a progressive faith. That when we look at the text, that he starts in one place, but I think Jesus is taking him to another place in his faith. I believe God does that with us. That when we were saved, y'all, we had one level of faith. But I believe through the years and through the situations that you've been through, the challenges that you've been through, God has grown you in your faith. He's progressing you in your faith. And so from the text today, I want us to notice a few things if we want to have this deeper, deliberate, and flourishing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want us to notice in the text, y'all, was this. Simply look at the place. Let's look at verses 43 through 46 again. Let me read it for you. It says, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He himself said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown, yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. As he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. So Jesus had recently been in Samaria. When you back up and read the story, we know that story well. It's the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Y'all know that? Y'all, we know that story, yeah? Bible readers, you know that story. Sunday school, you know that story, that he meets this woman, this Samaritan woman at the well. And she has some issues with Jesus. It's an ethnicity issue, that she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew. That they had nothing to do with each other. They had a mutual hatred for one another as a people. That she has an issue with Jesus, his religion. Y'all worship on one mountain. We worship on another mountain. She has issues with Jesus, but the reality is she has issues with herself. And Jesus exposes exactly what that issue actually was. Jesus said, woman, shut up all this talk. Go get your husband. Y'all remember the story. Jesus, I don't have a husband. Finally, woman, you said something that makes sense. You don't have a husband. You had a number of them. And the one you with right now, he is not your husband. He's not the one. So, here in this text, Jesus goes on to Cana. And John makes it clear that it's the place where Jesus turned water into wine. We know that story well, too, that Jesus showed up. Mother Mary was there. They came to this wedding feast, and they ran out of wine, y'all. They ran out of wine. And so the host, at that time, wine was very important to have the wine in the house, and so they didn't know what to do. So y'all know the story that Jesus takes water, some clear water, and turns it into wine. But it's here that John also talks about. This is the place where this dad shows up who has a son, a little boy who's about to die. So I believe that John makes a connection in the text between what's happening here. On one hand, he talks about this issue where water is turned into wine. Then he talks about this issue of this father who has a boy that's about to die. There's a connection in the text between the two. He doesn't just mention it just for nothing. But I believe the connection is simply this, that at the wedding, there was a place of need. For this father, there was a place of need for his son to be healed. And so the place that we look in the text, it's not just Cana. It's not just a place on a map. It's not a physical location. But the real location is need. And there's someone here today, you're dealing with something in your life, and you have a need right now. For most of us that may be strong in our faith today, we didn't start out here. Most of us, we started out, y'all, with a need. That we were going, let me tell you the truth. So born and reared in the church and all of that stuff, but you know what happens when you get 16, 17, 18, and you want to live for a moment, but you want to do your own thing until a need comes. And then that Jesus that grandmama and them talked about is the one you come running to. Because you have a need. Let's face it, y'all. Most of us would not come to Jesus unless we had a need in our life, a real need. So the man has a need. The place in the text is actually a need. This father had a needy faith. And we ought to have a needy faith. That we realize we have a need for Jesus. I thank God for fathers in the house today that know that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, man, let's just face it, we can be proud and we can be macho all the time. Y'all, we don't want to say we need anything. That I'm good all by myself. I can handle it by myself. I can do it all. But that's just kind of how we're wired sometimes, but that's not the way to be wired. But praise God for men of living faith, men of a living faith, that know without a shadow of a doubt that you need the Lord in your life. No better than any other need, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's his father, y'all, with this needy, he travels, y'all, some 16 to 20 miles, some historians say, to get to Jesus. That his vision, his faith is ignited, and he knows he has to get into the vicinity of Jesus. Listen, there's a myth about fathers that gets on my nerves sometimes, that men, for the most part, they're deadbeat dads, That men, we're absent and we're aloof. That listen, we're good providers, but we're not passionate about our family. I think that's a lie. I think there are too many fathers that provide, but they're passionate about their family. That they love their children, and they'll go the distance, whatever it is, to make sure their family is taken care of. That's what the father of the text does. Thank God for these kind of men in the church today. Not just some baby daddy, but you love your family. So he has this needy faith early when he meets Jesus. But that's not the only dynamic. That's not the only aspect or dimension of faith that the man needed or we need in our lives, men and people of God. Yes, we're needy. Yeah, we have a need in our life, but it's bigger than that. Notice also in the text the plea of this man. Look at verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judah to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Understand, this is a man of status. that he serves in Herod's court, so he has authority. But this man has enough sense to place his authority and humble that under Jesus. In the world system at that time, listen, the man would have had the authority, the power, but he humbles himself at the feet of Jesus to get his need met. He begged Jesus to heal his little boy. In context, he kept on begging. He kept on asking Jesus. This man had what I call a desperate faith. And listen, men of God, I think there are times in our lives, all the time in our lives, that we need to have a desperate faith, a faith that won't let go. It's okay to be desperate in your faith. I heard somebody tell me a long time ago, you never need to beg God for anything. Why would you do that? He's your heavenly Father. You don't have to just ask him and he'll give it to you. But listen, when you've been through, when you've been down and through, I found myself begging. I found myself crying, tears flowing by, and I've been reaching out to God, asking and begging God for what I needed. Don't dismiss moments of desperation in your life. It's that desperation that will get you to God. It's that desperation that will get you to Jesus. So don't despise those moments of desperation in your life. And this is what I believe about desperation. It strips us, y'all, of fakeness. We can look one way on the outside, but when you're desperate for something, when you have a need beyond needs and all needs, listen, you will let the tears flow, you will let the snot fly, you're desperate to God, you'll get down on your knees, you'll get down on your face, and you'll cry out to God. I thank God for the moments of desperation in my life. I think about the woman with the issue of blood, that she was desperate. Despite cultural norms and what she could and could not do, listen, she found her way through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. Do we have any desperate people in the house today? Do you have a desperate faith? You have a need from God. We don't even want to say we're desperate. I'm desperate for you, Lord. I'm desperate for the things of God. I'm desperate in my prayer life because I'm reaching for the things of God that I need for my life. The Bible says, as the deer pants after the waters brooks, God, our souls long for you. This man had a needy faith. It's this need that drove him to Jesus, that he was desperate, that he begged Jesus. He begged and kept on begging Jesus for what he needed. And so we see this progression of faith. We see these various elements of his faith. The same thing in our lives as well. The next thing we see, y'all, is the problem. We see a problem. See a problem in the text. Verse 48, it says this. Jesus asked, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? Yeah. So notice this in the text now. This poor man goes to Jesus, and he wants Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus is going to snap off like that? Now, why are you coming to me about these miracles all the time? What's up with all of this stuff? Won't you believe unless I do a miracle in your life? Can you just believe that I am who I say that I am? Remember now, he's in the area of Galilee, that he was a man from Nazareth, that he told him who he was, but they did not believe, that all they wanted from this Jesus at the time was him to be a miracle, wonder-working God. Do you not know he is a miracle worker, but he's more than that, he's much more than that? Do you not know that he's Lord and he's the Savior of your life? Do you not know that he's the Messiah? So Jesus gets indignant with this man. Why all you want from me is a miracle? Why is that all you want? But no, Jesus, he's not just addressing the man in the text. He's just addressing the crowd. And maybe he's addressing some of us today. Because oftentimes we see him as the miracle working God. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That he can work miracles. He's a way maker. That he's a promise keeper. But believe me, he's more than that. The miracles pointed to the man that he was, the man of God that he was, the Messiah that he is today. That miracle seeking in itself, y'all, will lead to a dead end faith. And I say a dead end faith for a reason. Because what happens when you don't get the miracle? What happens when it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out? What happens when you snot and you cry and you pray and it still didn't come to pass when you wanted it to come to pass? Will you still believe that Jesus is who Jesus says that he is? That's the kind of faith he wants. That's a deeper faith. That's a flourishing faith. That becomes a thriving faith in our lives. He may not come when you want it. He'll show up on time. He may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. So the problem in the text, sometimes a problem with us, that we want the televangelist Jesus. Turn the fans on, let the wind blow through my hair. Let the music play real softly. And let me prophesy into your life, tell you what God. I'm not saying all of that's wrong. I'm not saying, but too often we're focused on the wrong thing. That the heart of our belief, the heart of our faith is on the things that God can do rather than who he is in our lives. That he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of the living God, that he is our Savior. We ought to be able to praise God for just the salvation, just for the fact that he saved us. That's enough to praise him each and every day of our lives. that we don't need the God of the magic. We need the Messiah in our lives. We don't need God just to wow us all. We need to worship God. Worship God for who he is in our lives. When miracles fail, faith fails. When miracles fail, our faith can fail us. So faith built on the spectacular, y'all, it's not biblical faith. Our faith and our hope and our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of our lives. If he does more than that, listen, you got some gravy. He's done some things. And all the miracles, all of that stuff points to the fact that Jesus was who he said he was. And so I praise God for the men in the house today that see him not only as the miracle-working God, for people in the house today know, yeah, he does miracles. Yeah, he does all the great stuff that he can wow you. He can do all of that. But you know that he is the Messiah, that he is your Lord, and he is the Savior of your life. That's a stronger faith. That's a flourishing faith. That's a deeper faith. Next thing I want us to see real quickly, y'all. This man has a needy faith. He's desperate. Jesus is showing him something, not just about the miracles. Don't end up with a dead-end faith, but he sees this also. His persistence. I love verse 49. The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Now, Jesus just busted him out. Just bust the crowd out. He gets indignant. Y'all just going to believe in me just because I do miracles? Is that all you want from me? Is that all you want are the miracles? Is that all you want are the signs? Is that all you want from me are the signs and the wonders? I came for a different purpose. Men like, oh, yeah, I hear all of that, Jesus, but still, I got a son at the house. My boy about to die. We need to get up out of here, Jesus. the man is persistent, y'all. He won't give up. It's kind of comical. Jesus busting them out. Jesus tell them all. I heard all that, Jesus, but we need to go to the house and see about my son, Jesus. Come on. What about my boy? This is persistent faith. Anyone that has children, small children, or ever had small children, my goodness, you know something about persistence, don't you? Mama, daddy. No, you can't. I mean, daddy. Now, didn't I tell you no? Yeah, but mama. y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Some of y'all got them parents. They tell you once, no, when you ask them again, you might get slapped. So not child abuse. I didn't care. You can slap me. I'll still go, mama. Because I knew that my mother or my father could meet my need. God wants us like that, y'all. Like this father's persistent faith. That he's our heavenly Father, that Jesus is our Savior. Whatever we need, he can supply that need according to his riches and glory. But to be persistent like that, I think about this widow and the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Read it when you get home. It's a good story. But here is this widow, that she has a need, that there is a persistent person that's getting on her nerves. It doesn't say what he was doing, that he was unjust to her, that he wasn't treating her right. So she goes to the judge to see about getting her need met. The Bible says he was an unjust judge. He had no fear, no reverence of God whatsoever. He could care less what people thought about him. But the Bible says it was because of her importunity or her persistence. Hey, judge. That she got her need met. And that example in the Bible, that parable is for us today, that when you have a need, don't be afraid to go to God and to keep on going to God, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, and know that he will answer in his way, in his time. Are you persistent with God? Thank God for the men of God that are persistent, that you have a need, that you have a problem, you have a situation, you have a challenge in your life, and you keep on going to God. Each and every day, you don't give up. Persistent faith is a consistent faith that pleases God. Let me say that again. Persistent faith is a consistent faith that pleases God. It's a deeper faith. It's a flourishing faith. It's another dimension of our faith that we need to have in God. Be persistent as you pray. Be persistent as you talk to God. Be persistent as you ask him for what you need. You're not only this thing, but just about done. We getting there, y'all. We're going to get up out of here and go and get whatever ladies fix for us. And some of y'all have to barbecue yourself, but we're going to get what we're going to get. Verse 50. I don't want to start nothing. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Look at verse 50, y'all, again. Then Jesus told him, go back home, your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said and started, y'all, he started home. I love this, y'all. He says to him, your son will be healed. So your son will live. So let's pack everything up. Man, let's go to the house so I can lay hands on your son. I might spit in his eyes or something, do mud on him or something. I'm a healer. It doesn't say that. It says he speaks to the man. And he says to him, listen, your son will live. Based on the spoken word of Jesus, based on the promise of Jesus, the man acted in faith. That's how we ought to be with God. Based upon his written word, based upon what he tells us, based upon how he speaks to us, we ought to move out in faith, y'all. So the father took Jesus at his word. All he had was a promise. I'm talking to you today. Right now, all you got is a promise. What man is saying, it ain't lining up with the promise. What your life looks like is not lining up with what God promised you. But as long as you got the promise, you have everything you need. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ, they are yes, and they are amen in Christ. Will you hold on to the promise? Hold on to what he said to you last. Don't let go of that. Anybody believe God for something in your life and all you had to hold on to was a promise? But God brought it to pass? That God showed up? That God showed up in just in the right time? Hold on to the promises. Listen, faith is not found, y'all, in our feelings. And too often we get trapped up in feelings. We get too trapped in what we see with our natural eyes. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Real faith does not have to see to believe. The man just started booking up. He started going home, y'all. He started walking. He started moving. He put one foot in front of the other. He began to move to go to the house and see his son healed. That's the kind of faith, y'all, that Jesus wants us to have. That, listen, we just believe God and we take him at his word. We believe his promises, y'all. I believe this, that faith that saves and sustains us will cause us to respond in action. When we hear God speak, when we read his word and he gives us his promise, when he speaks into our very heart, into our very soul, or what he's going to do for us, we hold on to it, ought to spur us to some kind of action. And that action may be, maybe the action may be just staying still for a minute and listening to God. Maybe the action is doing exactly what God, whatever it is, do what God tells you to do in that moment. That's the action we ought to take. There's a song we used to sing, y'all, goes something like this. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy with Jesus, we got to trust and obey. So where he sends, we will go. Listen, what he tells us to do, we will do. We would simply trust God and we'll obey him. So he takes Jesus at his word. He believes the promise. He heads out. But that's not the end of the story. You read verses 51 through 54. I read them before. I'll let you do them again. Let me synopsize it. Synopsize, is that a word? Preachers can make up some words real fast, can't we? So the father headed back to the house, y'all. He put one foot in front of the other. He started heading back. But the servant stopped, and the man's servant stopped him on the way and said, listen, got good news for you. The fever done broke. Your son is good at this moment. The man asked the question, well, when did this happen? It happened about 1 o'clock the other day. The man said, that was the very time I went before Jesus. That was the very time I was asking him. That was the very time I was in need. That was the very time I was desperate. And the man's son was healed in that moment. Man, I wonder what's happening in our lives right now that we've asked God for. It's over here and it's done already. We back here. It's out there and it's done. And he's simply saying, walk towards it. I've completed it. It's already done. But will you walk by faith and not by sight? Will you believe it's already done? Will you hold on to my promise? Will you hold on to my, it's already done in the name of Jesus. But will we walk in faith? Will we walk believing that he's already done what we ask him to do? Can we believe that? In our lives, that's the payoff, y'all. Responding to the Lord in faith will always, always pay off. Man, they came in to give him good news, but Jesus is the good news. He had already met the good news. And the good news for the man that his son was alive, would live, his son would live. This desperate father, y'all, he received more, so much more than he bargained for. This is the crux of the text. Because not only did his son live, not only did his son have physical life, but his whole household believed in Jesus. Yeah, that's good stuff. That his son received physical life, but they received eternal life in Jesus Christ. I believe a flourishing faith, a thriving faith, a spiritually mature faith is more than just about you and what you need. It's about your household. It's about seeing your children saved. It's about seeing them come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about seeing people around you come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. This father was desperate. He was needy. He believed Jesus. He acted in faith. His whole household believed in Jesus. What are you believing Jesus for? Is it just for your stuff? Just for your healing? Just for your financial need? Or are you believing him for the salvation of your children? Are you believing him for your household? Are you believing him for your employer to be saved? What are you believing him for? How are you walking in your faith walk with him today? This man had some difficulties, but in the text I see these dimensions, this progression of this man's faith, that Jesus wanted something deeper for the man and something for us to do. That we come to Jesus with needs in our lives, and we can be desperate. You know, and we can believe that he's more than a miracle-working God. We can trust him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. Hang on to the promises of God and watch what he brings to pass in our lives. So our daughter, April, had to stay in the hospital, y'all, almost some 2 months. That she was sick. I had to move on to Wichita. Jackie had to stay in Memphis, Tennessee, the baby in the hospital. And so daily I would check in. I'm trying to remember, we didn't have cell phones like y'all got them today. We could look at stuff like that. We just had phone calls we could make. The baby stayed in the hospital. April stayed in the hospital. She had those tubes running through her little body. She's still laying at an incubator for quite a while. John Gaston Hospital, never forget it, Memphis, Tennessee. It's called the Med today. And so here I am now in Wichita, still crying out for my baby. I wish I could say at the tender age of 20, 21 years old that my faith was strong and I was, but listen, I was still kind of new. My legs were kind of wobbly. But even in my weak faith and my little faith, I was trusting God to heal my daughter. Y'all, but it was my father-in-law, Reverend E.W. Higginbottom, who spoke a word to me, who spoke a word to Jackie that I'll never forget. This is the same man, y'all, that fell some two stories from a building. Doctors didn't think he would live. He was a miracle. He survived the fall. This is the man that told us in that moment, listen, I can still hear his laugh and the look on his face. He said, that baby's going to live. That baby's going to be just fine. But in that moment, I believed something. He was not just giving me a hunch, something that he was just getting off the top of his head, that he was not just speaking words, but he was speaking the words of life. He was speaking the word of God. He was speaking the promise that daddy had went to God on behalf of his grandbaby. And God spared her life. And April, baby, if you're out there today, Kiyosha Yvette, Vega, that she is alive and well and thriving and surviving today by the grace and the power of God Almighty. Don't tell me what God cannot do. The God we serve can do anything but fail. That he is a miracle-working God. He is a healing God. He is a saving God. He's a keeping God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. We got some men in the house today that can stand up on your feet and praise God. You are men of faith. That you believe God. That you trust God. That whatever you need most, God will supply that need according to your riches and glory. Do you believe God today? Don't fool. Do you believe God today? Do you trust God will do exactly what God says he will do? So we celebrate you, man. Men of faith. Hadn't always been easy. Made some mistakes. Didn't always get it right. But thanks be to God, we stand here today with a faith that's still intact. That we believe without seeing. When God speaks, we simply believe what God says. And we take him at his word. If you are here today, I hope you can progress to this level of faith, that you simply believe God before you see, that you hear God speaking to your heart, speaking to your spirit. God say, I'm going to do this. It's going to come to pass. And watch God do it. And the church said, amen and amen, amen. A father's flourishing faith, his growing faith, his maturing faith, different dimensions of our faith, that we start out needy, y'all. But God's trying to take us to a whole new level of faith. Good God Almighty. When the rug has been pulled from under you, that you have no other options, you have no other way out. All you have is a promise from God. That's all you got. You can't do anything else. You've tried everything you know to do, but nothing worked. Nothing worked. That's where God really wants you. That's the place he wants you to be. Because it's in that moment you learn to lean and depend on Jesus. To put your whole self, your whole mind in his hands and watch him bring it. Watch him bring it to pass. Listen to this. Jesus does the miraculous in the very areas that we are most powerless. Jesus is able to do the miraculous in the very areas that we are most powerless. I think that's where he wants to get us in our faith, to totally surrender, to give up, to throw ourselves on his mercy and on his grace and simply depend upon him. If you are here today and you're a saving relationship with the Lord, I know you were at a place in your life where you needed him to do the miraculous. You could not save yourself. I could not save myself. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son into the world to die for you and for me. And that's a miracle. That's a miracle in itself, that he died to save us from our sins. So again, we thank God for these men of faith. If you have a husband and he is a man of faith, I didn't say a perfect man, but he's a man that walks with God, talks with God, obeys God most of the time. Seriously, thank God for the husband that you have. If you have a father that's alive today and he exemplifies it, he looks like what it means to trust and obey God, thank God for that dad today. If that's not their situation, pray for them as they pray for you, that we would all flourish, we would all grow, mature in our faith and thrive in our faith in Jesus. And the church said, amen, amen and amen. Can we give God praise one more time? Amen, amen. Perhaps there is someone here today and you have yet to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So our faith walk with Jesus starts with a need, and that need is salvation. That we need the saving work of Jesus to apply, to take effect in our lives. It starts right there. And if you're that person today, listen, we invite you into this saving relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we do? We admit that we're all sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. The Bible says none are righteous. No, not one, only Jesus. And we trust his righteousness to save us from our sins. So we confess Jesus Christ, Lord, and say, we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says we're saved. That settles it. Do we grow in our faith? Do we, the word sanctification, do we grow in? Yes, we do. But it starts at that place. If you're here today and listen, maybe you are already saved. You have a flourishing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere. We invite you today to become a part of Living Faith Community Church. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God, and we're connecting real life to a real faith. Our ushers are standing now at the back of the room. Their hands are extended. Once you follow them out, they'll lead you to room number one. They'll gather some information from you, and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you tuned into our online ministry today, how can you do that? You can do that today. Simply fill out the link that you see on the line in the moment. Click on that link. There is a new member form that you can fill out. If you have questions, just put the information on that sheet. I promise you, on this coming week, we'll get with you, answer any questions you have. So either online or in the house today, listen, we invite you today. If you're in the house again today, arms are extended, hands are extended.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.